And as we learn together, that Ezrat Hashem, this would certainly be a tremendous Iloi Neshama, as we all also, hopefully through dreaming impossible, which will be transformed to possible dreams, will elevate ourselves simultaneously. So we're going to take a look. And this is, I have to say, one of my favorite topics to speak about in general, even if it wasn't Parshat Vayetze. I think I would speak with you about dreams, because you're all at the stages of your lives where, and all the dreams that you had over the past few years are beginning to be fulfilled. And this is a time that we re-question our dreams, our aspirations. This is a moment in our life where we really do have to undergo a certain cheshbon ha-nefesh. What am I doing to ensure that I'm fulfilling those dreams? And the dreams, as we know, that we have really tell us a tremendous amount about ourselves, where we are at every stage, and all the more so, where we're going. So let's take a look at the dream of Yaakov Avinu, which appears in Parshat Vayetze, which, as we know, is a phenomenal phenomenon. And by that I mean that if we look at the Parshat HaShavua, we notice that it's not just one Parsha, one Torah reading that has been organized in such a way by Chachmei Bavel to ensure that we finish the Torah cycle over the course of 1 year. But in the case of Parshat Vayetze, it also happens to be one parshia, again, one long parshia stuma from beginning to end. And therefore, when we look at it, we have to recognize that all the different components are really intertwined. For those who are familiar with the chiastic structure of Parshat Vayetze, this only underscores the unity between all the various events, right? The story begins with Yaakov Avinu leaving or fleeing from his bloodthirsty brother Esav in the direction of Lavan's home. We know that on the way, he stops by Beit El. He has a dream that we're going to explore momentarily. He dreams of angels. He lifts a matzeva before Hashem. And then he goes to Lavan's house, wherein he's going to labor for his wives for 14 years. Right, very unsuccessful years. After 7, he's expecting to marry Rachel, only to be duped into marrying Leah, and then he has to work as an indentured servant for another 7 years by Lavan. And then we find the longest birth narrative in all of Torah, not only because Yaakov has Kanai Nahara, 11 sons and a daughter, but because even the birth narrative is interspersed with stories. And then it seems that right afterwards, Yaakov undergoes some type of deja vu, and he has to work once again for Lavan, again, continuously being tricked by Lavan, but this time he's successful nonetheless, as he is going to be able to return to Eretz Yisrael with a tremendous amount of flock. And lo and behold, upon his return to Eretz Yisrael from Lavan back to Esav, we hear once again of dreams, and we hear once again of a matzeva, and we hear once again of malachim, telling us that this inclusio format, or what Chazal like to call a chatima me'im pticha, is meant to help us focus not only on the transition parts of the story, but by appreciating that the beginning of the story ultimately is going to set the tone. So we're going to look at the beginning of the story, focusing on Yaakov's exit from Eretz Yisrael, which, as we know, is not merely an exit scene, but it actually is going to serve as the exposition for the entire parshia and expose us primarily to the themes of the dreams and the malachim and the matzeva that, as just mentioned, are going to appear also at the end of the story. So let's get started. Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er shava vayelech harana. This in itself is interesting. When Yaakov leaves, it says that he leaves Be'er Shava, right? Why is that strange? Because really, in the previous story, if you remember in Parsha Toldot, Yitzchak had changed the name of the city to Be'er Sheva, right? So why is he leaving Be'er Shava, which was the name of the place where Abraham had, or the name that Abraham had afforded the place? And it seems as if the Torah is telling us that Yaakov, even more than revisiting the stories of his father, Yitzchak, is really going to revisit a lot of the Avraham stories. But let's continue. Vayifka b'makom, vayelen sham kibah ha-shemesh, vayikach ma'avnei ha-makom, vayasem mirashutav, vayishkav b'makom ha-hu. And Yaakov literally encounters the place, and we get a sense that it wasn't a chance encounter, but Yaakov goes particularly to Beit El, to the same place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu had revealed himself to his grandfather Avraham upon his entrance to the land of Israel. Remember, Avraham builds a mizbeach by Yikra B'Shem Hashem in Beit El. And that's where Yaakov then, to a certain degree, is also anticipating some type of encounter with God. Vayikach ma'avnei ha-makom, vayaseh mirashotav, he takes the stones, puts them under his head, vayishkab b'makom ahu, vayichalom, and he starts to dream. And the Rambam explains, this is a regular dream, you know, a dream that we all have in our slumber. Yaakov dreams, and what does he dream of? Vihinei sulam mutzav arza, v'rosho magia hashamayma, V'hine, malachei Elokim olim v'yordim bo, Yaakov is dreaming of a ladder, and angels are ascending and descending the ladder. V'hine, and then the Rambam says, now there's a transition. In the middle of his dream, what starts to happen? Hashem nitzav alav. Hashem appears to him. His chalom is interrupted by nevuah. And he says, I am the father, the God of your father, Yitzchak, and your grandfather, Abraham, and this land is going to be yours. What we know is a revisit of Brit Bein Haftarim. The land is going to belong to you. And take a look at Pasuk Yudalid, Vayazaracha, Kafa Haaretz. Yaakov, not only are you going to receive the Brit of Abraham, a Brit Bein Haftarim, but you're also going to receive the Brit Milah. You're going to receive the Brit of the Zera. You're going to have a nation. And not to worry, because I'm going to fulfill everything. You're going to make it back to Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov wakes up the next morning, says, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. Oh my gosh, I didn't even know that Hashem was here. Vayira, and then he's inspired by fear. Vayomer, man nura ha'makom hazeh. Ein zeh ki im beit Elokim v'zeh shar ha'shamayim. And he says, you know, all those Mesopotamians who believe that Bavel is the Bava El, is the shar ha'shamayim. Oh, they got it all wrong. And really, the real Shar HaShemayim is here in Eretz Yisrael. Vayashkim Yaakov Baboker, Vayikach Ata Even Asher Sami Rashuta, Vayasem Otam Matziva, Vayitzok Shaman Al Rosha. Take a look at what Yaakov Avinu does. He makes a mini diorama of his dream. He takes a matziva to remember the sulam, Mutzav Arza. And what does he pour on top of this Even Matziva? He places Shemen, right, recognizing, or one can say symbolic of the divine experience, al rosha, just like hine Hashem nitzav al rosha sulam, so too now the shemen is going to be al rosha matseva to represent that sulam hamutzav. Yaakov clearly wants to remember the stream. And the question is going to be why. What's so significant about the stream? What is it really that Yaakov is dreaming? So as many of you know, Gana, this year is supposed to end at 1:45, so I'm just going to speak really, really quickly. Gana, so we're going to take a look now, beginning with the Rambam in Mor Nebuchim, and recognize how the Rambam is going to be very sensitive to this terminology incorporated in the dream. B'inei Hashem nitzav alav. What was it that Yaakov was dreaming about? And in the middle of this dream, Gana, he experiences, or he's dreaming about a ladder upon which Hashem nitzav alav. Now you have to remember that the Rambam is going to stay far away from any anthropomorphic references to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he believes that not only Hashem, but Malachim are incorporeal, and therefore he has a very hard time with this term. What does it mean that Hashem is standing on top of the ladder? If Hashem is standing, then maybe he has anthropomorphic features. No. Again, now the Rambam says, Hinei Hashem omeda kayam alav. Again, it means that Hashem exists. He pictures, so to speak, the existence of Hashem on the sulam. Asher katzeu harishon b'shamayim v'katzeu acharon ba'aretz. It's a ladder where one end reaches the celestial spheres of the heavens, and the other is going to be grounded in the ground. Uvo ya'ale kol mi she'ya'ale. And what Yaakov Avinu was dreaming about is this ladder upon which anyone who wants to rise upon the rungs of the ladder may indeed do so. Ad she'yasig mi she'alav behechrech. Until he obtains, until he reaches, then he who is at top of it. In other words, this is man's quest for closeness with God. Take a look at what the Rambam is telling us. What is Yaakov Avinu dreaming of? He's dreaming of ladders, but those are really just symbolic of his personal aspirations to develop a close connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov is dreaming about, as we're going to see in just a moment, about attaining levels of nevuah. Take a look at what the Rambam says. Who are these malachim that are going, firstly, up and down the ladder? The Rambam says, malachei Elokim, the angels that Yaakov is dreaming about, they're not angels. And again, no. They do not have corporeality if they're celestial angels. Rather, these are nevi'im. And these are prophets. Prophets of which we find throughout Nebuah sometimes are nicknamed malachim, because what is a malach ultimately? A shaliach, a messenger, again, vayishlach malach, vayal malach Hashem in ha-gilgal el ha-bochim, umatov amaru, olim yordim, he says, I'll prove it to you, because in what direction are the malachim going? Olim, the yordim, first they're going up, and then they're descending. wait a second, if they're celestial angels, then where should they be coming from? Up, right? They should be your deem, but ulim, so the Rambam says, because they're mortal messengers of God. Who are these? These are Nevi'im. These are those who go up to God to receive some type of message from Hashem. Haga'a el ma'alot yiduot min hasulam, then tiye yirida b'mashe pagash min ha'anyan. And then they're enjoined of by Hashem to go down the ladder, lehanagat anshei ha'aretz v'limudam, to teach the people correctly, asher ba'avor zeh hinah b'yirida, kamo shebi'arnu. And that's why it's called yirida, because they then have to go and teach the proletariat what the message of God is. Keep in mind of what the Rambam is telling us. He's saying, what is Yaakov dreaming about? He's dreaming about the opportunity of aspiring to these spiritual heights of receiving nevuah. And as he's dreaming about receiving nevuah, what actually happens?
He gets
nevuah. Is that amazing? How many of us dream about becoming Nevi'im? How many of us dream about these ladders and kirvah l'kadosh baruch hu? And perhaps that's what the Torah is telling us. You want to know what a dream is? A dream sometimes seems to be, right, an impossible one, right? Remember the man from La Mancha? To dream that impossible dream, and to fight that unbeatable foe, then it's not necessarily beyond our realms of possibility. What the Torah is trying to teach us is that if you have the right types of dreams, then you really can aspire and ultimately obtain those goals. So let's continue, and we'll see how the Nefesh HaChaim, as much as he's influenced by the Rambam, he sees that the dream slightly differently. He says, no, Yaakov isn't necessarily dreaming about Nevuah, but yes, he is dreaming about spiritual aspirations. And he says, how do you know that? Because the Sulam, says, is described as Rosho Magia HaShamayma, but, says the Nefesh HaChaim, it doesn't say that the Sulam is Mutzav Ha'aretz. Doesn't say that the ladder is grounded in the earth. Rather, what is the terminology used? That it's going mutsav artsa. What does artsa mean? El haaretz. It's going towards the ground. It's approaching the ground. Right? Every time I think about that, I think of, you know, like the sleeves, right, should be approaching your elbow, right? So, again, here we find, yes, it's the, again, the sulam is approaching the ground, but does it ever actually reach the ground? No, it's like suspended on top of the ground. And Yaakov Avinu sees Malachim going up and down the ladder, but never fully reaching the ground. Explains the Nefesh HaChaim that what Yaakov is dreaming about is Nishmat Chaim Shel Ha'adam. What is Yaakov envisioning in his dream? He's envisioning man's neshama that starts off that starts off in the heavenly spheres, and then mishtam, mishtoshelet kisulam, mishtoshelet mitzkasheret in haruach, v'haruach banefesh, and then slowly, Gena literally rolls down to the physical, materialistic spheres of this world. So Yaakov is envisioning, perhaps even now, his neshama, reaching, again, going from the celestial, spiritual spheres of Shamayim, and approaching the Aretz, but never fully reaching the Aretz. Yaakov clearly here is expressing his own trepidation, his anxieties with regard to his neshama. He feels that he is declining, perhaps, or that he is going up and down, struggling with this tug of war between the powers of Shamayim and the powers of the Aretz. Can anyone tell me why particularly now Yaakov would be struggling with this? With us seeing almost his neshama, again, declining, or again, going down, deteriorating to the earthly spheres. Why particularly now is he dreaming about such anxieties?
He's leaving Israel.
He's leaving Israel. Okay, come on. Don't you all have these dreams? Okay, I have to say this, right? Well, what am I doing here? Again, my neshama is not on the same high rung of... Am I making you feel bad? Same high rung again, about what it was in Eretz Yisrael. Again, it's been going down, again, down the ladder. And we can certainly understand how Yaakov Avinu was struggling with this. But what we're going to see is that the Midrashei Chazal appreciate that Yaakov isn't just dreaming about some type of spiritual anxiety, but very, very personal anxieties. Take a look in the Gemara Masechet Chulin. The Braita tells us, Olin umistaklin b'diyukno shel mala, that Yaakov is dreaming about malachim who are going up a ladder, and who do they see atop of the ladder? Who's, so to speak, standing there on top of the ladder? Hinei Hashem, right? Mutzav alav, that they see diyukno shel mala, and the heavenly forces above, and then they go down the ladder, and who's sleeping there underneath the ladder? Then they see, again, Yordin u'mistaklim b'diuk no shalmata. They see Yaakov. And in Midrashic literature, we find that the Malachim are very protective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? They serve almost as the entourage, the bodyguards of Hashem. And Ba'u l'sakune, they basically tell themselves, wait a second, again, here's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and here's mortal man, again, be connected through this ladder. No. Mortal man cannot necessarily have this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what do they want to do to Yaakov? They want to endanger him. Miyad v'inei Hashem nitzav alav. The same terminology that Imshat means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing, so to speak, atop of the ladder, al hasulam, Chazal understand as, no, hinei Hashem nitzav alav. Who is the subject of alav? Yaakov Avinu himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and hovers over Yaakov, as Chazal tell us, kadam sheminif al beno, like one who comes to protect his son. A beautiful terminology that we find here. That Yaakov himself in his dream is dreaming about being endangered by Malachim, and who comes to protect him? Hashem. Now we can certainly understand, why does Yaakov have this fear, have this anxiety of being endangered by the servants of Hashem? Again, what's going on in Yaakov Avinu's life right now? Esav wants to kill him. So of course he feels endangered. But deep in his subconscious, right, keep in mind that this is all pre-Freud, and deep in his subconscious, he feels that who's protecting him?
Hashem.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sure enough, in that same dream, wherein he's worried, wherein he's feeling all of these anxieties, in the same dream is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and assures Yaakov not to worry, everything is going to be okay. But we're going to look at the Medrash Tanchuma that tells us, you know what Yaakov is dreaming about? He's not just dreaming about his spiritual aspirations, and he's not just dreaming about personal anxieties. He's dreaming about the future of Am Yisrael. He's dreaming about national concerns that are literally on his mind. And explains the Midrash, Amar Rabbi Rachya, B'Shem Rabbi Chabo, V'Rabbi Shimon Ben Yosina, Melamed, She'ar'au HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Yaakov Avinu, Sara Shel Bavel, Olev Yored. That who are these Malachim, in fact? That these are representatives of the various empires, the world empires. Right? Chazal teach us that every nation has its own representative, Malach. So first Yaakov sees the Malach, the empire of Babylonia, rising to power, and then Yored, and then declining, being destroyed. V'shalmadai, and then the Median Empire, that is also going to have heights, and then comes down. Shal Yavan olev Yored, shal Edom olev Yored, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov. So then, within the dream, Hashem tells Yaakov, Yaakov, lama inata ole? Yaakov, why are you going up? And we can understand, why doesn't Yaakov see his nation as the father of Am Yisrael? Why doesn't he picture himself representing, serving as a malach for Am Yisrael? Why doesn't he want to go up? He sees all the malachim rise and then
fall.
So, about tosha nityare avinu Yaakov. Yaakov is gripped by fear. Just as all these other nations have fallen, so too I'm going to fall. Yaakov, if you only get up, if you only will try, Gana, just take that first step. Go up the ladder, then you'll never come down. But the Medrash says that Yaakov didn't believe. And I understand this not to mean that Yaakov didn't believe in Hashem or in the confidence that Hashem had instilled within him. Yaakov didn't believe in himself. Yaakov didn't have that self-confidence to be able to get up. Yaakov, and we can imagine this, get up right now. He feels that he had tricked his brother and he had stolen brachot. And now his brother wants to kill him. And he's leaving the security of his mother, of his father, of his homeland. And he's going to Chutz La'aretz. And Yaakov doesn't feel confident enough to go and rise on the ladder. Rabbi Shimon ben Yosina Hayad Doresh. And isn't this terrible? With this Am Yisrael sin. Zot Chatuot V'lo Heminu B'Neflotav. That even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us with various signs and miracles, sometimes we don't believe Hashem. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ilo Alita V'Hemanta. The next phrase always bothers me. And wherein Hashem says to Yaakov, Yaakov, had you only had enough emunah and thereby started to rise above the ladder, lo haita lecha yirida le'olam. Had you only taken that step up the ladder, Yaakov, then you would have never fallen. But because you didn't, So now, not only are you going to fall, Ela ho'il v'lo he'emanta, harei banecha mishtabdim, v'alalu arba malchiyot ba'olam hazeh, b'misim barbonin abar arnoniyot, ubo gugaliyot. But because you didn't rise, you didn't rise above your fears, you didn't overcome your anxieties, Yaakov, so now you're going to have to suffer by these four empires in this world. And I always wonder, oh, Yaakov, chaval, had you only seen yourself going up the ladder, you could have saved us a lot of troubles historically. And then no pogroms, and no persecutions, and no terrorist attacks today. And yet Yaakov couldn't go up that ladder. And here we see that what Yaakov is dreaming about is not merely, again, his personal hopes, dreams, aspirations. He's dreaming about the future of Am Yisrael. He's dreaming and concerned with what's going to happen with his descendants years to come. And as troubling as this is, Chazal tell us not to worry. Take a look in the Midrash Rabbah. Vayachalom v'nei sulam amma rav avahu. Divrei chalomot lo ma'alin v'lo maridin. Don't worry. It's not the content of the dream itself that is really going to have an effect. It's not the content that determines whether we rise or whether we fall. And what are Chazal trying to tell us? That even though these are expressions of what's going on in Yaakov Avinu's mind, even though these clearly are aspirations that he has, even though these are dreaming the dreams of Yaakov Avinu, it's not so much the dream or the concept of the dream and as much as how the dreamer responds to the dream. And we're going to see that that's really the focus. That we're supposed to be focusing on Yaakov Avinu. And just to prove it, what's the Mila Mancha in the scene of his dream? Notice, Rosh, Rosh, Rosh. Everything has a head. Yaakov obviously has a head, and that's where he's dreaming. But the ladder has a head. The rock has a head. It's not even a coin with the heads and tails. Yaakov sees this rock, so to speak, as having a head when he pours the oil upon it, telling us that it is about what's going on in his mind. And Chazal say, then look and see how the dreamer not only dreams, but responds to his dreams. And sure enough, Chazal tell us, look at the Rashi on Bereishit Perek Chaf, how did Yaakov respond to his dream? Even if in his dream he doesn't see himself going up the ladder, even if in his dream he doesn't fully receive or receive nevuah or go up to that highest rung of the ladder, nonetheless, Chazal tell us, Rashi quotes, that what happens the next morning? Vayisa Yaakov raglav, a very strange term. And Yaakov picked up his feet, and he lifted his feet, and then the continuation of the pasuk says, Vayela harana, and continues on his way to Haran. And Chazal asks, we don't need to hear this then. It's not as if we say, oh, you pick up your feet, and then you go to your next class. You simply go to your next class. And we know, how did you get there? You picked up your feet. Thank you. So Chazal said, what do we need to hear this? Yaakov lifted up his feet. Yes, because you have to recognize how inspired Yaakov was from the dream. Maybe in his dream, he didn't pick himself up and go. But immediately thereafter, once he hears the confident words of Hashem, I'm going to be with you. Or as the Midrash says, come on, Yaakov, get up. And if you get up, you won't fall. Yaakov then can get up. He can lift up his feet, Gena, full of that confidence, now that he knows that Hashem is going to watch over him. And therefore, with the last remaining minutes, we're going to take a look at Yaakov. We're going to focus on the dreamer and recognizing that in order to have dreams like this, in order to have dreams, you must dream. Then you must be a dreamer in order to have dreams. And Chazal tell us this in a beautiful manner. Amar Rabbi Yona, Amar Rabbi Zera. Kol halan shivat yamin belo chalom. Whoever sleeps for 7 days without a dream, nikra ra. This is very strange. Chazal are basically providing a moral barometer based on whether or not you've had a dream. So do you mind if I ask how many of you have had a dream over the past 7 days? Uh-oh. Anna, that means that the rest of you, Chazal would just say, you're evil. Gena, shame on you. Gena, why haven't you had a dream? Shene emar, v'sheva yalin bal yipaked ra. V'saveya yalin bal yipaked ra. Al tikra saveya ela sheva. Take a look at the pasuk in Mishlei upon which Chazal are basing this midrash. Gena, yirat Hashem l'chayim. Someone who fears Hashem is guaranteed life. V'saveya yalin. And he'll be able to go to sleep satisfied. My Chazal very often will incorporate, again, the terminology of sleep. If you sleep well, again, like in Kohelet, if you sleep well, then you know that you're living a meaningful life. So if you're a Yirei Hashem, you'll be able to sleep well, Bal Yipakei Ra, and no evil will befall you. Chazal say it's more than that. By changing around the vowels and the commas a little, Chazal reader says, Yirat Hashem Lachayim, V'sheva Yalin Bal Yipakei. If, again, you're a Yirei Hashem, that's wonderful. Then you'll live a good life. But if Sheva Yalin Bal Yipakei, if you sleep for 7 nights without being remembered by a dream, comma, Ra, then you're evil. What are Chazal trying to tell us? That as opposed to someone who aspires for life, someone who doesn't dream and isn't going to live a good life. He really is bad. Why? Because someone who doesn't dream, what does that show? That shows that he's content with where he is right now. That shows that he's not aspiring, that he doesn't want to grow in Yirat Hashem. That shows that he is perfectly content with mediocrity. And someone who's content with the status quo, then automatically he'll never develop. And that obviously is going to have an effect on his moral persona. What Chazal are trying to tell us is if you really and truly are a Yirei Hashem, if you fear God, then what happens on a regular basis? Then you'll dream, then you'll aspire, then you'll have these dreams that show what your goals are. And that's why on a regular basis, and especially at this stage of your lives, you must dream. And I hope that you dream frequently, at least once every 7 days, because that will ensure that you are on a proper trajectory. That will ensure that you're growing, that you're aspiring, that you have much to accomplish, and that you're going to push yourselves to get there. That means that you're not content with where you are because you're dreaming. You're dreaming of the future. And that what's ultimately is supposed to push you in a path of Yirat Hashem. And Rashi tells us that's why even before Yaakov dreamt his dream, Yaakov already, when he comes to Beit El, is already engaged with God. He's already anticipating. Vayifka b'makom, Rashi quotes the famous Midrash Chazal. Don't read it simply as Yaakov coming to the place, engaging with the place. Yaakov is engaging with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lashon Tfila. That Yaakov already feels, already aspires, already needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he dreams. It really is about the state of the dreamer, and not so much the content of the dream, which is an expression of his state of mind. Or as Chazal tell us as well, do you remember what does Yaakov do when he gets to Beit El? He places stones around his head. So Rashi explains, what does it mean by Yasemi Rashotav, that he places these stones around his head? Asa'an kimin marzev saviv l'rosho. He basically made almost like a mini fortress around his head. Sheyare mipnei chayot ra'ot, because he was afraid of wild animals. And I don't know about you, but I'm picturing Yaakov putting rocks around his head again so that wild animals won't come. So great, when the lions and the tigers and the bears, oh my, come, again, so they won't hurt his head, but what will happen? Again, how about his feet? He doesn't care. Again, how about his arms? Right, so, okay, the lion won't touch his head. Great, Yaakov, that's not going to help you so much. Again, what is the Midrash trying to tell us? That Yaakov is very head-focused. That Yaakov is thinking about what's going on in his head. It's his dreams, it's his thoughts, it's his aspirations that he recognizes are very vulnerable right now. And that's what he needs to protect. He needs to protect those dreams. He needs to preserve those dreams. He needs to make sure that he doesn't lose sight of those dreams. And sure enough, the very first thing that he does the next morning then is create the diorama of his dream. Create almost a still model of his dream, taking that matzeva to remember the sulam mutzav arza, taking the shemen al rosha to remember that he's always going to aspire to Hashem nitzav alav. And let's see if Yaakov, in fact, does remember his dream. Imagine this, Yaakov picks himself up, he's so excited. Again, even though he's going to Chutz Laaretz, he understands that this is just the beginning of a long process of a journey that's going to ultimately bring him back to Eretz Yisrael and thereby fulfill Brit Bein Haftarim and Brit Milah. But what happens? He gets to a well, and what does he see on the well? A huge boulder, another Evan. Again, Yaakov has so many Avanim in his life. He has Avanim that he puts around his head, Avanim that he puts under his head, Avanim that he is going to create as a matzeva. And now he comes to Lavan's house, and what's the first thing he sees over a wellspring of water? Another rock. And I can imagine that Yaakov thinks to himself, enough. again, all these obstacles, as opposed to his father Yitzchak, who was engaged in digging out the wells of Avram Avinu, who was all about, again, reclaiming and, again, almost relinquishing the past and the legacy of Avram. By Yaakov, it's much harder. Again, he has a huge rock on that well. On one hand, he's so close to the water. It's right there. And yet the Ro'im, the shepherds, tell him, no, sorry, you can't take it off until everyone is here. Yaakov sees so many obstacles in his life, so many hindrances to the fulfillment of his dreams. But then he sees Rachel. And if you remember, there were two reasons why he left Eretz Yisrael to begin with. Rivka tells him he has to leave to save his life. But Yitzchak tells him he has to go and find a wife. And lo and behold, he sees Rachel and he realizes, wait a second, Gana, this is an obstacle. And yes, he's going to end up crying when he sees Rachel, because he understands that there will be various obstacles along the way, along the fulfillment of his dreams, but he's not going to let that stop the fulfillment. And therefore, as soon as he sees Rachel, what is he able to do? He's going to take that same Evan, again, atop the Be'er, by Yigash Yaakov, Vayagal Et Ha'Evan. And that's Yaakov's challenge, to constantly remove those Avanim and allow himself to dream. But what happens? Yaakov dreams. He dreams of marrying Rachel and returning to Eretz Yisrael and begin the fulfillment of Brit Haaretz and Brit HaZera. But after 7 years of hard work, Laban tricks him and he marries Leah. Okay, another 7 years of indentured servitude to Laban. And after that, he has nothing to show for himself. It seems that over time, Yaakov, in fact, forgets his dreams. And he's in Chutz La'aretz for 14 years. And until we hear Pasuk Chavtet, Vayomer Elav, Atah Yadat Et Asher Avaditicha V'et Asher Hayah Miknecha Iti. Yaakov then turns to Laban and says, you know, Gana, I've been working for you for so long. I've paid off all my debts. Now it's time, Gana, for you to pay me something. And Laban asks him, Ma'itein Lach, what shall I give you? And Yaakov says, no. I don't want you to give me anything, because every time you give me something, you make me work for it. So no, Gana, I'm not going to accept anything. I'm just going to work. I'm going to work on my own and create, Gana, a whole breed of flock. So as we know, Laban says, what do you want? And Yaakov says, I want this specific species of the speckled and the spotted. And Laban says, fine, and then takes them all away from Yaakov. But what does Yaakov do? Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Vayikach lo Yaakov, Makel Levnelach, Veluz Va'amon. Yaakov takes staffs and he places them before the animals as they're breeding. And this is going to affect the genetic makeup. And by Pasuk Mem Gimel, Vayifrot Ha'ish Ma'od Ma'od, Vayilot Son Rabot Ushvachot Vavadim Ugmalim Vachamorim. But finally, after all this, Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Hashem El Yaakov, Shuv El Eretz Avotecha, Ulum Oladetecha, Ve'eyeh Imach. These are words that reverberate in Yaakov Avinu's mind. Oh my gosh, he realizes, what did I forget? What did I lose sight of? I forgot about my dreams. I forgot about my nezer, my commitment to Hashem. I'm supposed to go back. Again, I've lost sight in Chutz La'aretz of what my dreams ultimately are, of my spiritual aspirations. Instead of dreaming of malachim, I've been dreaming about speckled sheep. Instead of dreaming of a sulam utzav arza, I've been dreaming about dollar signs. And Yaakov Avinu realizes, now it's time to go back. But he calls his wives and he says, I understand if you want to stay, because if you're going to undergo lech lecha me'artzecha, it has to be of your own initiative. But then Yaakov says something phenomenal. He says, I want you to know, though, what's happened. He says, Pasuk Tet, Vayatzel Elokim et Mekne Avichem Vayitem Li, Vayhi Ba'et Yachim Hatzon Vayisaynai Ve'ereh B'chalom. He says, I want you to know that I had a dream. And in my dream, there were Atudim, Olim HaLatzon, Akudim, Nikudim, Uvudim. I saw all of these sheep. Vayomer Elai Malach Elokim B'chalom, Yaakov, Va'omar Hineni. Vayomer, Sanna inecho re'e kol atudim ha'olim alatzon atudim nekudim uvudim ki ra'iti et asher et kol asher lavan usalach hanochi hakil beitel asher mashachta sham atziva asher nadarta li sham neder. Yaakov says, I had a dream, and in the dream the malach said to me again that I should place the staffs in front of the animals, and the malach says, wait Yaakov, you have a neder that you have to fulfill. And I believe that Yaakov didn't necessarily have a malach in his dream telling him how to place the staffs, because we just read in Parak Lamed that Yaakov apparently does that on his own. Rather, when Yaakov does this, we now see that Yaakov is reminded Now that he sees the success, he's reminded when Hashem comes and says it's time to go back. Yaakov shares with his wives, "Do you know that I had a dream? Once upon a time, again 20 years ago, I had a dream. And it was a dream of a malach. And it was a dream, again, I used to dream of angels. And it was a dream in which I had spiritual aspirations. And it was a dream wherein HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that he would protect me, but that I have to return to Eretz Yisrael." 20 years later, Yaakov is reminded of his dreams. It's not about the dream, it's about the dreamer. If you remember Martin Luther King, "I have a dream." Again, it doesn't mean that the night before he dreamt and again had pleasant dreams. It means that he's aspiring, that he doesn't lose sight, despite the obstacles along the way. That 20 years may go by, and Yaakov remembers, wait a second, I do have goals that I set for myself. And I'm not going to let those goals die, even if there are obstacles. And even if there are different influences, especially in Chutz La'aretz, I'm going to make sure that I return to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to make sure that I fulfill my dreams. I'm going to consistently be inspired by my dreams, because I know that in order for me to continue to have real goals, I have to continue to dream. I have to continue to aspire. I can't be content with where I am. And this, as we know, is what not only allows Yaakov Avinu to return to Eretz Yisrael, but to return and once again see angels. See angels that will accompany him and reassure him that he is on the path for fulfilling those dreams. Reminding Yaakov that once you dream dreams that initially seem impossible, they actually are very possible if you only respond properly to your dreams. And this is my bracha to you at this stage in life. Go ahead and dream. And all those dreams that you had last year or the year before, your dreams about your spiritual lofty goals, getting your true dreams and goals in life about Kirva LaKadosh Baruch Hu, your dreams of Yirat Hashem L'Chayim, make sure those dreams don't die. Your dreams of how you want to affect the Jewish community, your personal dreams, maybe even dreams that are accompanied by pseudo-nightmares of anxieties of Yaakov Avinu, or whether they're the national dreams of how you're going to affect Am Yisrael. What we see from Yaakov Avinu is that we're not only supposed to dream, we're supposed to consistently remember our dreams and respond to them properly to ensure that we begin the fulfillment right now. B'hatzlacha rabba. And I look forward to continue dreaming and fulfilling with you.